Good morning again, everyone. It's wonderful to be together on this. What's going on with spring? Can anyone kind of guess what's going on? We've kind of had a little taste of it, and then we're right back into winter again. So, yeah, pretty interesting. In just a moment, I'm going to read for you the passage that we'll be looking at together, which is coming from 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through to 6. That passage again is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. If you don't know where 1 John is, it hangs out with his friends down the back of the Bible, with 2 and 3 John, Jude's around there, and Revelation. So that tells you kind of how far back you have to go. Now, while you're turning there, I thought that I would remind you of the three major themes that we've had a look at in this book so far. First, you might remember John spoke to us of sin and holiness. We saw that especially in the first chapter. John made it clear to the church that we are to live a life of holiness. We are to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. Yet, because of our continual battle with sin on this side of kingdom come, we won't do it perfectly. And thus, we must be, as God's people, completely reliant on the Holy Spirit as we live out our Christian life in this world. Second, John spoke to us of true and false teachers. Now, we're going to have a little bit more of a look at that in more detail today. In this passage, but as we've noted, John has been concerned that the church understands that not everyone who claims to speak on behalf of God is really the genuine thing. And as God's people, we have to be mindful of that and know how to spot that in our midst. Third and most importantly, John gave us tests, we might say, to reflect on to see if we're really in the faith or not. You might remember it. He asked us to reflect on what we really believe of the Lord Jesus Christ. He asked us if we are really obedient to the commands of Christ. And he also asked if we really love our brothers and sisters in the faith. It's those marks that are there and growing in one's life that gives evidence, that gives assurance to one really being a genuine Christian, says our apostle. Sin and holiness, true and false teaching, and these three tests have been the major themes that we've been looking at in this book and in this series so far. And I remind you of all of this because John is now going to build on all of this by turning our attention to how we are to discern. That's right, God's people, as Christians, we are to discern what we hear, because as we're going to see, many false prophets or teachers have gone out into the world and they are brutally dangerous for the Christian. That's what we're going to have a think about this morning. But before we do that, would you please join me in reading this passage? So I'll read it for you and then we'll pray together. So this is 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. These are the words of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why don't we pray together before we have a look at this? Father God, we thank you for your word. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand these words and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified in our midst, that all manner of people would be drawn to him by the gospel. We ask for this, for your glory, and in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, just this week, I found myself reflecting on how much information our brains are exposed to these days. You see, I'm old enough to remember a time before the internet when you could wake up in the morning, you could go about your routine, you could go to bed at night without a screen in your hand and without knowing what crisis had just unfolded on the other side of the world. Now, we carry all of that with us. Every tragedy, every outrage, every opinion, all of it consistently streaming into our minds. It's no wonder that it's called doom scrolling. We live in an age absolutely saturated with information. And while technology has its benefits, we need to recognize the very real danger that it poses to us. Now, let me be clear with you here. I'm not saying that anyone should go and find a plot of land, make a hole, and then bury your head in it. But with a great amount of information comes a great amount of responsibility, because not everyone out there in internet land is telling you the truth. And this isn't in the just in the news, mind you, but also with things of a spiritual nature, things of a biblical nature, and thus many weird and wacky things have found their way into the church because Christians haven't been discerning enough to tell the difference between truth and error. Now, I bring this to your attention because John's audience in the first century was in real danger of drifting away from the true faith as given to them by the apostles. Certain people were teaching certain things that simply weren't true about Jesus, about his nature, and about the gospel itself. And as a result, some believers were in risk of leaving the church and following a different Jesus. But let me say this, we are no different today. That's right, if we don't learn to discern between truth and error, especially when it comes to the gospel, we too are in great danger of being led astray. And that's exactly what our apostle wants to address with us in these verses here this morning. He wants to help the church. He wants to help you and me become better equipped at recognizing truth from error, particularly when it comes to the gospel of Jesus. And he does this by pointing out three things. First, he wants us to be a people that test what we hear. We see that in verses 1-3. Second, he wants us to see that the Christian life has an important spiritual element to it that we mustn't ignore. We see that in verses 4-5. And then third, in verse 6, John wants us to know that the one true test of a false teacher, a false prophet, is whether they believe and preach the Bible. So it's three things that John wants us to think on here so that we might learn to be better discerning people when it comes to the information that is thrown at us every which way. So first, there in verses 1-3, John says, test the spirits, which is another way of saying that we are to test what we're hearing. We're to ask, is what we're hearing in line with what the apostles have taught us? Is what we are hearing biblical or not? Now, what's interesting here in context is that it seemed that these teachers were coming into the church and they were saying that Jesus wasn't really a human. And I say that this is really interesting because notice it. These teachers, they're not coming in and denying that Jesus is God. No, they're actually doing the exact opposite. They're actually denying that God became human. Now, I just want to go on a little bit of a tangent here, not too long, I'm weary of time, but I think one of the most wonderful truths that church history affords us is that the earliest Christians didn't evolve Jesus into deity, but from the get-go accepted his nature to be divine. I mean, you don't need to look very far to find that there is loads of quotes, not just in the New Testament, but outside of the New Testament, of Christians affirming Christ's divine nature. For example, a first century bishop who had some connection with our apostle here, a guy by the name of Ignatius of Antioch, outright referred to Jesus as God throughout his letters. And a second century pastor, a guy named Tertullian, wrote with no hesitation, Christ is God, by reason of his being the Son of God, and God because he is of the same substance with God the Father. In fact, the earliest Christians believed Jesus was God so much so that New Testament scholar Michael Byrd wrote that there is no doubt that Jesus was worshipped alongside and in unity with Israel's God. That's why the earliest Christians were happy to affirm the Nicene Creed, which says, we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. All this to say, church, it's not like the idea of Jesus being God evolved over time. No, as we see here, some of the earliest controversies involved people not being able to wrap their heads around God becoming man in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, why might people coming in to the church and teaching that Jesus wasn't fully human might be a problem for the gospel? What's the problem with that? Well, it's a massive problem, because it undercuts the wonderful good news that our Creator became flesh to come and save us. You see, the Bible teaches all throughout that only God saves. And the gospel proclaims that God chose to do that by becoming all that we are so as to redeem all that we are. It's what theologians call the doctrine of the incarnation. In other words, God didn't stay safely above, calling us to come to heaven to save ourselves by our own good works. No, he became one of us, fully human, sharing in our pain, our weakness, and even our death. To put it simply, God didn't stay separate. No, he became the very thing that he came to rescue in Jesus. He lived the life that we were meant to live. He died the death that we deserve, and he gives everything that he earned under the law to whoever would trust and believe and call upon his name. Church, God the Son became man, the perfect man, and he stands in our place at this very moment before God Almighty as our very human representative. He is very God and very man. And that's what John is pushing back on here in regards to these false teachers and what they were bringing in. He's saying Jesus took on our human nature and our sin so that he could bring us back to God, not from a distance, but from inside our situation. And to deny that is to deny the very gospel that was proclaimed and preached to you by the apostles. And it must be seen for what it is, a false gospel that is given by false teachers. Brothers and sisters, false teachers, false prophets, as they're called here, aren't just a thing of the past. No, they're all over YouTube, Instagram, late night television, podcasts, and some even take to the stage every single Sunday in churches all over the world, taking the Bible and twisting the words of God for their own sordid gain. And we must discern the things that we are hearing. We must discern if they're from God or not. And so again, we are to test what we're hearing. Is it in line with what we have received from the apostles or not? Is what we are hearing biblical or not? Because to just swallow anything can be disastrous for us. Disastrous for us and those around us. I remember when I was a very young man that I went to a prayer meeting for a friend of mine who had a tumor in his leg. And the pastor of the church wanted us to all believe that he would be healed by engaging our faith. And I remember that we were all standing there in a circle and praying for my friend. And this pastor was going around and he was saying to us, "You're not praying properly. You're not praying with your faith engaged." And he was going around and he was telling us, demanding of us to speak in tongues. At one point, he came up to me, put his hands on me and he shook me and he told me to pray in tongues, to pray out loud properly, to pray in a spiritual language with my faith engaged. Now, admittedly, time of confession here, I muttered something out loud to get him to move on. But that moment has always stuck with me because it was a real turning point within myself to start thinking, can I pray properly? Because not only did my friend not get healed, but I'm not able to speak in tongues. And so I started to think to myself, am I really saved? Did God actually love me? Did God actually listen to my prayers? Because I couldn't speak in a way that this pastor was telling me to. And because I didn't know the Bible, because I didn't understand the wonderful news of the gospel, I was rocked to the very core. And it profoundly affected me for years to come. And so John, through the inspiration of the Spirit, he writes for us here. He says, discern between truth and error, because if you swallow error, if you take in false teaching, if you don't test the spirits by the word of God, the result can be devastating. In fact, John is very, very clear here in verse 3. If people are not teaching the truth about Jesus, if they're denying biblical truth, if they're denying the gospel, no matter how sincere they might look or sound, then these people are not from God. Second, in verses 4 and 5, John says that every child of God should be able to discern truth from error because of who has made their home in us. You know, one of the great things about the Christian faith is that you don't have to check your brain out at the door as you walk in. I mean, the Christian faith isn't a fairy tale that's based in mythology or folklore, but very much based in the historical account of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Our faith, it's an intellectual faith in that sense, rooted in history and in our reality. But in saying that, our faith isn't to remain just an intellectual faith. No, being a Christian means that we, our soul, our very spirit, our very being has been connected to the living God through the work of the Holy Spirit because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen to the words of our apostle here in verse 4. He says, "Little children, you're from God and have overcome them," these false teachers. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Notice what our apostle says here. He's saying that the Christian faith isn't all about knowing more information about the next guy so as to be able to ultimately discern the truth or not. No, at the end of the day, this is a spiritual matter. In other words, if the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, then you have become God's adopted child. You're from God, as he puts it here. And thus you should be able to discern the voice of the great shepherd from the overt wolf. Because as we saw back in chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, the Spirit of God has been given to the children of God. And he will never lead you into error, but will continually lead you to the truth of apostolic teaching, to the truth of the gospel, which he inspired in the first place and has had written down for us in our Bibles. That's why, dear brothers and sisters, that's why there are some very humble people in terms of their intellectual knowledge who know God better than some people who are very smart and have all the scholarly jargon. I'm absolutely in awe of my wife in this area. Now, I don't want to say too much about her because I don't want to embarrass her, but Hayley, she hasn't done Bible college or even taken a night class at Trinity, but she is one of the most discerning Christian women that I have ever met. We can be talking about something we've heard from someone, maybe we've watched something on YouTube or doing some sort of ministry together, and I'm always bowled over by how quickly she can discern if something isn't right, if something is off kilter. She's so quick to see when something hasn't been phrased in a way that lines up with the truth of the gospel. Now, I pick on my wife here as an example, but she's not the only one in our church that can discern truth from error. Now, there's many of you that haven't had a theological education or done a pastoral degree, but you know that something isn't right when you're being led astray from the Jesus that you have put your hope and trust in. And that shouldn't surprise you, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and he is the one who works in you. Church, the Holy Spirit will always lead us to see the truth of Scripture so we can discern truth from error. So I say again, the Christian life has an important spiritual element that we mustn't ignore. Third and finally, as we see there in verse 6, we believe the teaching of the apostles because the Holy Spirit has opened our hearts to the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our apostle puts it like this: we, he's speaking about himself here, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. As we've seen right throughout this series, the apostle John was chosen by Jesus Christ to share the gospel that would result in having fellowship with the living God for all of those who believed his message. In other words, he, as well as the other apostles, was sent by God. And he's saying here, if you know God, you will listen and you will believe and you will practice what the apostles have passed on to us. To put that simply, church, they are the faithful teachers. And those that believe and trust and teach their words are those that know God. Yet those that reject them, well, as we see here, they show themselves to still be in the blind, still be blind and in the darkness. And so as we conclude here, we have to be aware, we must be aware, that there are many so-called Christian teachers that call into question the authority of the Bible, that question the truthfulness of salvation in faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, and who can cause you to doubt your salvation because they take something from the peripheral and they make it core to Christianity. They're all over the place, and we have to be ever so careful of these people that can so easily creep into our homes through our devices and other such means. Yet I also want to say that we are not alone. We're not alone. No, in our fight against sin, in our pursuit of holiness, in our love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have the teaching of the prophets and the apostles, and we have each other. And friends, again, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And that's incredibly important for us to remember today as we discern between truth and error and to continually follow our great shepherd together as his people. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, we are so thankful that you have not remained silent, that you have spoken to us through your Son ultimately, that you have given us your word. You have opened our eyes to the truth of the gospel because of the supernatural, gracious work of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that we would be a church that would be discerning, that we would be a church that love you, that loves you, that loves those around us in our community, that we would be a place of disciples, not of our own bright ideas, not of our own traditions, but of you, Lord Jesus, that you would lead us continually to the light, to the everlasting water, to you in every single way. And Lord, that we would hold you high through the preaching of the word and through our lives in everything we do. We ask for this for your glory, for your sake, and in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders